Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Yeah, we're starting big today. I like that. Give me a little hurricane to get it rolling. What do they give us, about 7 seconds to get the change over here? Hey, does anyone know how to get the smell of skunk off a dog or outside of your house?
Is that nice guy Steven? Oh, no, we're talking about, sorry.
Tomato juice?
I thought that, because he...
Is that true or is that a wives tale?
I've never tried it, so I can't tell you.
So my dog gets sprayed with a skunk, and then my dog runs in the house and starts jumping all over the furniture because she's been sprayed by a skunk. My house smells like a tire fire. How do you get it out?
I go with the old vinegar. Get you some old vinegar, right? Get your winter vinegar and 08 and a little baking soda. And you go ahead and wash it.
Seriously?
I'm serious.
Okay.
It'll cut it. Vinegar, cut it, without a doubt.
Chilton Autobody, text line 95795 if you have any fixes for skunk on dog and skunk in house.
Blow that out.
And then after that, we're going nothing but S-P-O-R-T-S. That's right, sports here on Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Jim Cozumore again in for Joe Fortenbaugh, who has the time off. Dibble do, you doing all right today?
Never better, Uncle Jim.
Evidently, you don't have a fix for skunk?
My fix was... probably pretty cruel, which is just get rid of the dog.
Get rid of the dog and sell the house?
Shelter. Well, that would be the next step.
Yeah.
But never been a... What happened?
Nothing.
We got to get into this thing, guys. We got so much to go over. Yesterday, as we were getting off the air, we were catching word of what was going on a radio show, a syndicated radio show called The Breakfast Club. Many of you may have heard about that. And Andre Iguodala of the Golden State Warriors was on that show making news, evidently. Which I found interesting, because if there's one thing that we've seen, well, a couple of times now. Remember, was it last year or 2 years ago when David West said, oh, if you guys only knew what was going on behind the scenes. And didn't Livingston say
that? Was last year,
It was last year. If only you guys knew what was going on behind the scenes. Andre Iguodala, this time around, had some interesting words about the Warriors organization. And some of them I want to bring out eventually, because it could play into how the team is constructed in the future. When you have would you say, Dan, and I don't want to characterize these words, you know, myself, we're going to play some if we can, but would you say they were not detrimental to the organization, but somewhat questioning of the organization's ways of doing business?
At the very least, they were revealing of what Andre Iguodala said as it pertained to his individual injury situation. And, of course, this is always one-sided when you hear from the player on what he was saying that the organization was saying about his injury. We don't know exactly what the messages were, but it was very revealing that Andre Iguodala would go out and do this sort of long-ranging interview. I know he was on CNBC the day before. He's making the media rounds because he has a book out, which always raises one eyebrow for me when all of a sudden now we've got a bunch of revelations coming out, and oh, by the way, I have a book for sale. So well-timed titillation always has me a little bit curious.
See, that is interesting. Go ahead.
Is it interesting? It's interesting. You know what's interesting is...
It is interesting.
How once someone is going to do something, it always become about, oh, they have something to gain. Oh, because there's a book. Oh, because these guys are doing this. It's just coming from the athlete's perspective. That's why I'm always on the side of giving the guys and take what you can get max deals. Take care of yourself, because they ain't loyal. That's just the way it is. I've been there. I've been on that side of it, and I know how this game works. So, no, it's not necessarily about a book, but everyone's going to – it's when you go to court, it's about reasonable doubt, and that's what the prosecution do, and that's what the defense is going to do. Everyone's going to try to throw that doubt, and that's what you hear. What's coming out? Well, maybe because he's trying to sell his book. It makes you raise an eyebrow. You look at a guy – We talk about a guy like KD, who's one of the best basketball players in the association. Why did he play? Because the Warriors needed him to play if they wanted to win a championship. 5 years ago, Warriors were in the final, right? And who were they playing? The Cavs. And who was injured and he had to play? Didn't want to play, but they said, please play, and he ended up getting hurt. And he hasn't been the same since. You know who? Kyrie Irving. Think about his knee. Think about what happened to Kyrie. Go with me here, Coz.
I'm going with
you. Same type of situation. He was injured. Because his knee wasn't in the best, but they said, hey, couldn't hurt anymore. He ended up tearing up his knee, but they needed him to win a title, and he didn't play that year, and he ended up getting hurt in the finals, and what happened? They lost. So players are going to do sometimes what they have to do, and sometimes the staff, and it's not just the Warriors, so don't make this a Warrior thing. This is throughout every team, all players, all game, most majority
That's
of the sports.
That's interesting you say that, because that's going to play into a lot of our discussion today. We're going to get into a lot of those comments that were made by Andre Iguodala. A little bit later on, we're going to hear from John Dickinson, super reporter here at 95.7 The Game. Does a great job. Andre Iguodala touched on a number of things, including social media with players. You might be surprised to hear just how much these guys are addicted to it. That's coming up in a little bit. Also, some NBA news when it comes to free agency. Who's looking at what teams, including... the Masai Ujiri staying in Toronto storyline is intriguing because of Kawhi Leonard, who has a meeting set up on July 2nd with the Clippers, but we're told there's another team in the state of California he's got his eye on. We'll tell you about that. But I want to get back to Andre Iguodala and his interview on The Breakfast Club. And you're talking about injuries, Lo. Listen to what Andre Iguodala had to say, guys. Let's get number one on the pressure to return for an athlete from an injury.
Everyone's feeding stuff in our head. When KD coming back? When KD coming back?
And the fact that it's the finals.
So I'm saying. Last year happened to me. I missed the last three games of the Houston series. It goes to game seven. We barely get out of that series. And now they're looking at me like, when you coming back? And I had a fractured leg. But it's being put out there like he got a bone bruise. I'm like, no, it's fractured. So I'm fighting with the team. I'm fighting with people. I'm fighting with the media. And then my teammates ask me every day, how you feeling? So with K, he getting it from everywhere too. Like, how you feeling? Not just from the team, but from family or from, you know, people close to him. This is our moment. This is our stage. You know,
right.
This don't last forever. And what they'd always say in sports, oh, he was a tough guy. He played through injuries. You know, you're validated as an athlete if you win a championship or how tough you were. You know, if you sit out, it's like, he's not tough. Like, you think about it, the history of sports is all about people's perception of you, and they want to get their gratification through you for themselves, and that's just the way of sports, you know.
It's kind of your fault a little bit, too, though.
It's true.
For a player, would it be, and Lo, I'll ask you, for a player, is the push to get back greater from the team side, or by that I mean the organization, or is the push greater from teammates? Because if the teammates are hearing, well, gosh, Kevon Looney came back and he's got supposedly a broken collarbone, and Clay came back and he's got this bad hamstring. Hey, KD, if you're an athlete who is injured in some way, where's the pressure coming bigger from?
Well, I think it's just a combination. I mean,
all right.
because you're in the locker, and who are you with every day? Your players. If you come to work, what do we ask each other? Hey, good morning. You ask Dibs, how you doing? You ask me, how am I doing? Guys, if guys are injured, hey, man, how you feeling? Feeling okay? Man, you know, and those are just natural. Those are natural things that you do, especially when it's a guy on your team. And then if it's a good guy and the guy that you know you need to win, you'll ask, man, you think you're going to be all right? What you thinking? What you thinking, bro? How long you thinking? Man, I don't know. This thing hurt. And you hear it. And sometimes the coach even saying, hey, what's your boy thinking over there? Or, you know, the coaches get tired. Maybe they don't want to ask, and they'll bring in another player and say, what do you think? Man, he's in pain. He's going to try. And he's getting the same answer. So it isn't, I mean, is it pressure? And the player wants, KD loves playing basketball. All those guys love it. Klay Thompson, they're hoop heads. They love it. So they're going to do what they can to get out on the court. It's not that these guys don't want to play. Look at Looney. He's out there playing. So you put pressure on yourself just as well as the coaches, players, and the staff.
All right. The other issue to this, and that's the KD part of it, but the other issue on Iguodala is the fact that he says he had a fractured leg in the last postseason. The team called it a bone bruise. we'll get into that in a second, Dan, with what that means to the perception of the Warriors among free agents, what that means to the perception from other teams. Is this something that's common to every team that they all do the same thing to try to hide it? Is this something to try to trick a player to get back out onto the floor? If we keep telling everyone it's a bone bruise, most people are going to say, hey, you can't miss six games with a bone bruise. But if you said it was a break, we don't, or a fracture, and you can argue whether or not fracture and break is the same thing, because yesterday on the Chilton Autobody text line, people were all over me on that one. But we'll get into that comment specifically, the fracture versus the bone bruise that the Warriors were putting out there on Andre Iguodala, and we'll bring it into a greater discussion of what's going on in free agency in the NBA. That's all coming up this morning. Joe Lowen Dibs, and is here as well. I'm Jim Cosimore, in for Joe Fortenbaugh on 95.7 The Game.
Fonte, Steiny, and Guru had a surprise waiting for baseball legend Carl Yastrzemski.
Carl, we wanted to give you a chance to say hello to your grandson, Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on?
You had a good at bat the last time up yesterday going the other way.
Yeah, finally didn't miss a fastball down the middle.
Fonte, Steiny, and Guru.
Yeah!
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game.
Joe Lowen Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Wow. It is just, there is a lot of top roping going on right now. I don't get it.
And
why
it's
you
got
to be that way?
That wasn't
I know.
Me.
I know. Anna's actually trying to stick up for me.
She tried.
Am I humble?
She tried, but she
couldn't do it.
That's the thing. When Anna tries and then she goes, she still couldn't do it, then you know you lost, buddy.
All right. We get it rolling here on Joe Lowen Dibs. Jim Cosimore in for Joe Fortenbaugh. Dan Dibley. Your thoughts on Andre Iguodala, going off on injuries, on guys coming back, on claiming he had a fracture when the team said he had a bone bruise. When you heard all of that information, which was coming down as we were on the air, very end of our show yesterday, what did you make of that?
I was surprised that he was so revealing with, not that necessarily that they are, quote, trade secrets, but if you're the Warriors organization and you hear him talking about his injury in this fashion, it paints you in a bad light. And I didn't anticipate that Andre Iguodala would be saying things that would paint the organization in a bad light. Not that he owes them anything, because he doesn't.
I think he does.
I don't think that he owes them anything. He's gone out there and played amazing. He's under contract for one more year. He's paid handsomely for what he does, but he earns every penny. And the organization has gotten more than their worth out of that contract, because he's been a key cog in a dynasty. So from that standpoint, I don't feel like he has to toe the company line. I was just surprised when he came out. It's a year later, and maybe this is something David West was referring to when he said, y'all don't know what we went through last year. We kept it in-house. Well, now you're not keeping it in-house.
No, you're not. No, this is the opposite of in-house.
I'm not judging Andre Iguodala for speaking his mind. It's certainly his opinion, and God, it's his body, for crying out loud. I'm just surprised that it's coming out at this time and in this fashion.
You know why I think it's a little bit surprising in that, and you say he doesn't owe them anything, and I think he owes them a lot. There's a reason he was on CNBC yesterday, or was it 2 days ago?
2 days, yeah.
2 days ago. And it's not because of his jump shot, it's because of his business acumen. And Lo, the reason a lot of that business acumen was put into place is because Joe Lacob and the other ownership members of the Warriors, who are so tied into the investment community on the peninsula, they're the guys who have ushered a lot of these Warriors into that world. That's not something that, say, if you play for the Chicago Bulls, Jerry Reinsdorf isn't pulling you into these meetings with all these great, smart, forward thinkers that they have in the peninsula with all this tech business going on. I think Andre Iguodala owes it to the Warriors, not just for basketball, but for also broadening his scope in a business sense outside of basketball. And here he's kind of crapping on the people who brought him in.
When you say that he owes him, there's a lot of guys on the team. Are all those in tech? Are all those guys doing what Andre Iguodala is doing? There's a lot of guys that play for the Patriots. Are they all doing what Tom Brady's doing? There's a lot of guys that play for the Lakers in different things, but are they all that buttoned up like LeBron, the Kobe's? Yeah, the opportunity. There's a lot of guys that I played with in the National Football League, and I would say, hey, look, max out your 401k. You put 17,000,
yeah.
The NFL puts in 30. Guess what, Coase? A lot of guys didn't do it.
Oh, my God.
A lot of guys say...
That kills me now today with kids that win jobs that have that opportunity.
Yeah, and a lot of guys did say, I'm not putting it in. I'd rather keep my money. You'd rather keep 17,000 and the team's going to put in 30 and maybe more now? Why would you not? So, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but he's still at the same sense. He has to make those decisions that I want to be more than just a basketball player. I want to have more opportunities than just that. And this goes on. Hell, this went on when Steve Kerr was playing. Kerr knows about this thing. Kerr plays the game. There's not a guy that can't tell you a story about whatever team that they were on that it didn't, maybe didn't happen to them, but other players, it's just happened. I know you guys are surprised that it happens, and just some people don't have the stage to go ahead and go ahead and let it out there. Hell, I've seen guys go out there and they're hurt, and the trainers get them out there just to go run and get them out there on tape, and they're running, but they're not running full speed, and boom, they film them. And all of a sudden, then they're cut. So, yes, fortunately, this goes on, and it goes on in every sport. So it doesn't surprise me at all.
How about this? You know, in the NHL, we make a lot of fun of them, Dibs, when we say, they're in the playoffs, and we hear he's got an upper body injury, he's got a lower body injury. And then the series is over, and you hear Joe Thornton was playing with a torn ACL,
right.
A guy had a broken ankle, and he was still lacing
lower
up the skate.
Lower body injury. It's not a lie.
Yeah. It isn't a lie. Would it be better if the NBA went to that system, and then at the end of a playoff round, the team said, Andre Iguodala was playing with a fractured leg?
Well, you can't really do that because of the big elephant in the room now, which is gambling. The gamblers want to know, and the gamblers will find out. Ultimately, whatever the injury is, and the Kevin Durant one I think is a great example because it was called a mild calf strain. Well, pretty soon in the process, you got a sense that it was more than a mild calf strain based on what the odds makers were doing with the odds for the subsequent games. Mild calf strain, you're back in a week, yet after a week, after 2 weeks,
He's
not coming back, and the spreads were being adjusted accordingly. So no matter whether or not you, quote, come clean or you completely hide the injury across the board, the word's going to get out.
You know, Joe is going to have, he's going to be able to do, you know, a 400 level course on this very thing once gambling really starts to ramp up and how the reporting of injuries has got to change from these leagues. If Iguodala's telling you he had a fracture and the team has been telling everyone you have a bone bruise, you mean to tell me with all the money and Adam Silver is the first commissioner to chase gambling money, you mean to tell me they don't have to fix that system? They got to do something with it. Either come clean or go upper body, lower body. You can't lie about an injury. And if he had a fracture and the Warriors said bone bruise, it's the same thing when Mark Jackson said Andrew Bogut got injured, he fell out of bed and got hurt. And Bogut said, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not what happened. And the Warriors had to go back on that lie. Now the Warriors are looking like they're a bunch of liars. Aren't they?
Well, are they alone in this? Can we look at every injury report to Lowe's point of every team at the professional level and not see some things that lie in the gray area? I never saw the Andre Iguodala x-ray, nor was I in the MRI tube as he went in there with his headphones on.
Right.
So ultimately, this gets into patients' rights versus what the league's rights to reveal the injury. Because if you're Andre Iguodala, you control what medical information is released as far as you're concerned, but the team and the league, whatever they put out, doesn't necessarily reflect what's actually going on.
That's an interesting point. On Sunday, when it's NFL Sunday, and you see the injury report, how much of it is hogwash and how much of it is do you think is the real deal? Like, 'cause at times, my guess is when you played, you knew. You knew who was hurt and how badly they were hurt. And then when you look at the injury report, And it's Sunday, and there are people out there who look at it for gambling purposes. Let's not kid ourselves. Do you think it's garbage, or do you look at it and go, all right, I get it. That makes sense.
Well, I think that all you got to do is just, if you're following the trends, you can see Tom Brady's always listed for something. But Tom Brady always still playing. So you look at their injury list, it's just a way, it's just gamemanship the way that they do it. They don't want to give a team a competitive edge. So when you look at it, when you're in those locker rooms, though, and you're at practice, and you're watching a guy, and you're like, man, my man's not feeling well. You know what's going on. Doesn't have to be a rocket scientist, but at the same sense.
But does the public know it?
No, the public doesn't. They don't know. It's too hard to really know what's going on. A guy might take a couple days. Coach might say, hey, you're not going to practice today. I just want you to be fresh for Sunday. Because the guy maybe has a bellyache. And they go, the guy's got flu-like system. symptoms,
yeah.
And so you might do that for 2 days, and a guy might not go out to practice, but you know that he's going to be able to play. A guy, we had a guy, you know, that a nose guard, you know, Big Jamal. I'm talking about he'd practice one day, and you see how swole his knee was, and then friggin' they'll friggin' drain it on game day. You hear him yelling in the back room and just but they drain it, and he's able to go. So it's so hard. Yeah, louder than that. So it's so hard to put a on these guys and who is not going to be able to play and who is, because everyone has a different pain tolerance, yep, threshold. Individual. It's up to the individual.
Off the Chilton Auto Body text line, two interesting texts. One from the 510. Iggy's a straight shooter. He doesn't talk much, but when he does, he never toes the company line. So he's an honest speaker. From the 925. This is not what Bob Myers and the Warriors need. During the free agency madness, Iggy, shut up till mid-July. So we've got two separate ends there. Love to hear from you, 888-957-9570. We'll hear from our super reporter, John Dickinson, in just a moment. More on this and what the Warriors are going to be doing, maybe towards free agency. I know John was also out there for the rookie press conference, so we'll get his word on what went on out there.
You're stacking teases again.
I'm a tea stacker, as you know. Long-time tea stacker. Is what I do here.
Why
people?
You call him out on that? Dude?
First time, long time.
This is worthy of a Fremont Bank full service banking, no compromises tease and a kakarikis. What's going on? What's coming up on 95.7 The Game?
Lots going on today, cuz. All right, what's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Smart and Final. NBA free agency news is a frenzy. Klay Thompson is reportedly very open to meeting with the Clippers, reportedly, if the Warriors don't offer him the max. Will Golden State offer him the 5-year, $190 million deal? Should they? Kozlo and Dibs will discuss and talk to our own super reporter, John Dickinson, next. They'll also go over the latest free agency news, like the report that Kevon Looney is a possible free agent target for the Houston Rockets. Should the Dubs be concerned what other moves could be going down in the association? We'll continue to discuss and talk to former Warrior and analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area, Kalena Azabuki, at 9 a.m. Andre Iguodala with some eye-opening and interesting comments yesterday regarding injuries, social media, and much, much more. You'll hear more from Andre in the show. And this update is sponsored by Smart and Final. From groceries to club sizes, Smart and Final has everything you need for summer savings in one stop, plus the lowest prices in the neighborhood. But coming up, was there a breakdown between KD and the Warriors? Woj weighs in. You'll hear about that next. I'm Anna Kugadike on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Cable's number one new drama is back. Kevin Costner stars in Yellowstone. Don't miss a new episode of Season 2 tonight at 10, 9 Central on the new Paramount Network.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Let's get it rolling here on Joe Lowe and Dibs. Thanks very much for listening to us here on this Wednesday morning. And thank you very much on the Chilton Auto Body text line. A lot of great suggestions on how to get skunk off my dog and out of my house.
Awesome. Awesome.
And that's what we're here for, basically, is to make my life easier.
They care. They care about you. That's all.
You know what? That's exactly right. We're people helping people around here. Isn't that what Joe says?
PHP.
Yeah, exactly.
You listen a lot to the show.
I'm a P1.
You are definitely a P1.
Yeah, I'm a P1. When I'm in the gym, yeah, I'm listening to you guys, and there are times when I have to take the earbuds out because I'm either laughing or I'm too angry, and I want to make sure I'm getting my lift in. You know, I want to drop the heavy bar on me.
How many times you want to call in? Is there a bunch where you just like...
Every once in a while, I want to text,
yeah,
like Dibs, because I know, like, if I just get to the Chilton Auto Body text line, I'm going to get ignored.
But
I don't want to do that. Then that's just taking you know, you're taking advantage of your lot in life, aren't you?
Yes, exactly. I got pissed off. You can always text me, Coz, and I'll read it, but...
Not on air. You'll read it, but not on air.
If it's good enough, yeah, I'll read it.
Do it, Cozy.
All righty. It's Dan, it's 6:34. So we got to get to our guy, okay? John Dickinson joins us here, and he is he on the dial pad guest line or not? Yeah, let's say it. Hey, dial pad helps you make smarter calls.
Came in real prepared today.
Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, message, and meetings across your existing devices. John Dickinson, super reporter. There is no off season for you, is there, John?
No, absolutely not. Maybe a week later this. Well, next month.
All right. Yeah. Sometime after free agency, you'll get a little time off right around the baseball All-Star break. How about the Warriors rookie press conference? What stood out to you from that event that you attended the other day?
I think that the confidence level of Jordan Poole, the you know, veteran presence of a guy like Eric Paschal, and just the, you know, the belief that the Warriors have three players that are going to be able to contribute at some point. Now, whether or not that's going to be the 2019-20 season, I think remains to be seen. But I just think, you know, there's a combination of players that all play different positions that just it led me to believe that this really is the first step toward a little bit of a roster reload for this team as they embark on a season where maybe they're not a championship contender at the level that they've been in previous years. So it seems like a group of three players that really wants to work. They all provide different skill sets, but they all have an ability to contribute, and I think they're going to be forced to show that they have an ability to contribute because this team has a roster that's, you know, shorthanded compared to previous years.
Clay and KD accounting for 27% of minutes played last year. Rank these three in order of ability to contribute some minutes. Forget the offensive productivity, but from a minute standpoint, how can these guys fit in this year?
Yeah, I think Paschal's the one that is the most intriguing as far as, you know, being a stretch four, being a guy that could, you know, play defense and defend multiple positions and knock down a three, be that 3-and-D kind of a player that the NBA has found so useful in recent time. You know, Jordan Poole, a skill set, a confidence. You know, I'm not sure. I still think the Warriors are going to add a couple of wings in free agency, whether it's with the mid-level exception or with the number of veteran minimum options that may be out there once free agency dies down a little bit. You've also got a Jacob Evans, you know, still in the mix from coming off his rookie season that figures to be at least ahead of Jordan Poole initially on the depth chart. And then I think Smaila Geach is a player that may take a little bit more time to develop, obviously being the youngest of the three. But, you know, I think he provides even a different skill set from the other two that's intriguing. But the Warriors, you know, still have more big men, I think, on their roster right now, or at least the prospect to have more big men on the roster than some of those other positions. Once free agency starts and once they finally, you know, start signing players and reacquiring their own this offseason.
JD, watching these guys and from just a looking at it from an overall perspective, when you look at a guy like Zion, from a physical perspective, the guy probably going to come in the NBA and probably can still handle that, just his body structure. What is going to be a challenge for these three, the guys that you went over? What will be some of the challenge and some of the pros and cons as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, body type can be an issue for a guy like Jordan Poole, I think, initially. You know, is he going to be able to get his shot off, you know, consistently, immediately at the next level? In the college ranks, he's able to, you know, get his shot off the dribble. He's able to, you know, set himself up, get to the basket and finish. You know, watching some of the highlights of him, I mean, that was an initial thought is, okay, does this work against an NBA athlete, or is he going to have to grow up a little bit? So, you know, I think it's all of the typical things, you know, and I think the one thing that the Warriors do is they don't put too much on these guys. And you know, you go back, I mean, Jacob Evans didn't play a lot last year. Kevon Looney didn't play a lot as a rookie. You know, Damian Jones, his first year due to injury, was a wash. You know, Patrick McCaw actually contributed to some playoff wins and to some finals wins initially. So I think, you know, they've had varying levels of success early on with a lot of these players. But I think Kevon Looney's a good example where you don't want to necessarily use the first year as the decider or put too much pressure on a guy to do too much that first year, even given where the state of this roster is. I think we all are going to be prone to do it, to say, well, this has to be the year that these guys contribute more. And maybe they do, but I don't know that you can expect that from a 28th pick, a 39th pick, and a 41st pick overall immediately.
Absolutely agree. J.D. John Dickinson with us here on 95.7 The Game. He does a great job throughout the season on the Warriors beat and all year long doing great stuff with the whether it's the Giants, whether it's the A's, whether it's the 49ers, the Raiders. He's all over the place. Let's stay on the Warriors here. You know, as part of this, Bob Myers, you know, you mentioned you wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors brought in a couple of wings. Bob Myers didn't want to talk free agency the other day. What makes us think the Warriors are going to be creative enough to do that? And when you say they can bring in a couple of wings, just how competitive do we think, should we expect the Warriors to be next season?
Competitive as far as grabbing guys, or just competitive as far as their record?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Maybe both. You know, competitive. You know, are they now? Are they still an it destination for some veterans? And are they going to be a competitive grouping once we figure out what the roster looks like?
Yeah, I think how competitive they are is first and foremost going to be determined by Stephen Curry and Draymond Green's health and ability to play a lot of games, maybe not a lot of minutes, but a lot of games, 70, 75 games. You know, maybe you give those guys a rest here and there, but it starts with them. I mean, if they're going to be a 45, 48 win, you know, competitive team, it's going to start with those guys being healthy and able to play with regularity. I think beyond that, it's going to be determined by who they sign. Well, you know, who gets the mid-level exception? Is that somebody that can be a starting small forward type of player, or at least a player that can split time with Andre Iguodala, where he can play, you know, half the game or on some nights play 30 minutes, you know, to allow Iguodala to play closer to 18, or play 28 to allow Iguodala to play closer to 20. You know, they're going to have to find a stopgap two guard. They don't have a starting two guard right now on their roster. And I think they're also going to have to find some kind of a combo guard that they can play as a backup point guard, but also can play with Stephen Curry, you know, in the backcourt together. Maybe you move Curry a little bit more to the two. And then what happens with DeMarcus Cousins is also a factor in this. So it really is tricky because, you know, the two most important free agents are still Kevin Durant. What's he decide to do? And Klay Thompson, what does he decide to do? But once you get those guys settled, really whether you're competitive next season is based on move 3, 4, 5, and maybe even 6 in terms of free agency or who you're able to acquire via trade to fill some of those spots that are now so thin because of the injuries to the two guys that you want to keep.
JD, we are tight on time, so we got to run. Thanks for getting up early and helping us out this morning on Joe Lou and Dibs. What's your next assignment? What do you got coming up next?
Well, it's looking like boy, I don't. You know what? I'm a little bit of Giants. Had some Giants last night. Maybe some summer league to check out these guys next week in Sacramento
and California
and
Classic.
Maybe a little Las Vegas after that. So we'll keep you we'll keep you posted throughout the weekend.
I love it. Great, JD. Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
You got it.
All right. When we continue more on the NBA and free agency and the names being bandied about and the surprise in Los Angeles, that's a tease. It's
actually two teases.
It's Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises, double tease. As we tease stack on Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
The Dane and Bruce Show wants to give you $5,000. Starting Monday, July 8th. Have the biggest celebrity you know call the show.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Your reward? $5,000.
I'm rich!
For details, visit 957thegame.com and listen all week to the Dame and Bruce Show. The Celebrity Call-In Contest is presented by Dialpad. Make smarter calls.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Throughout the morning, we will weave in and out of the NBA and all the things going on because Sunday is when free agency starts. In fact, I think it's not just you can start conversations on Sunday. I think contracts can be offered on Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
you think? Why don't you get buttoned up before you just come in and say, oh, you know what? This can happen. No.
Because I like to just throw it out there. That's why.
Okay, I'll tell you. No, they can't be. Can't be signed on Sunday. You can talk contracts, but you can't sign it. Just like the NFL, you can start. These things happen. They happen behind
the scenes.
The
signings can officially begin at 6 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday, much like I just said.
Oops.
Leave it to the professionals. You go back.
I had to. He was eating your chips, so I had to come in.
He was eating your chips.
You were over there eating nut butter with Kozer. So I just came in, and I didn't think it was Sunday. But you're right. It's no big deal.
And everyone thinks it's the conversations can start on Sunday, but it's really you can start signing contracts. So it's going to happen quicker than it normally does.
Yeah.
Which means, is part of the reason they're doing this because it's a made for television event?
Yes, it's become must-watch or must-listen entertainment, the free agency period, emulating the NFL, which we get to the NFL, the legal tampering period, and then all the deals start flying around. People now, sports fans, have become lightweight contract lawyers and capologists. We're all fascinated by this now. It used to just be the game, your team wins, your team loses, we'll see you next time, but now it's 24 hours a day, and it's 365.
And I think it's going to be an interesting thing that it happens at a time where it's more visible. It used to be midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, and then you can kind of roll into this thing. Remember, Magic Johnson said of his recruitment of LeBron James, I sat in front of his house in my car for 1 hour after the scheduled time for it to begin because I didn't want to get caught with tampering. Then I went up and knocked on his door.
What if he wasn't there?
That's a good point. What if LeBron was out at dinner?
Exactly.
What if he was having family time?
Absolutely.
What if he's in his jammies?
Right. Don't answer. Why he didn't want to answer the door?
Hmm. But interesting.
I
got to think also, you just don't walk up to LeBron's door.
No.
I'm going to guess there's some gating issues going on.
So?
I think so.
Right. I was waiting. Come on, Magic. You're on the phone with him. It's going to be interesting to just see how this thing works out. Free agency, especially with the guys that, Daniel, like yesterday you were alluding to, the Kawhis and see what's going to happen, all the different rumors around surrounding the Lakers and the Clippers and Toronto. Are they going to keep Kawhi? It's just going to be fascinating when this free agents start, especially for those first tier five guys that everyone's talking about.
And you wonder if Kevin Durant isn't the first piece to go, the first domino to fall, what he might do and how that could affect Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan, Brooklyn, certainly the Knicks, obviously the Golden State Warriors, and where pieces go from there. To me, one of the more interesting angles is the idea of a sign and trade with Jimmy Butler going to Houston, what that might look like and what Houston would be willing to give up to Philadelphia, what pieces might fit for the 76ers, whether or not PJ Tucker would be a deal breaker in that situation or which players might be on the move if Houston's able to pull that off, because we got the report yesterday from Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, which I don't know why it's not Woj.
It's so funny. I was thinking the exact same thing just now. Why isn't it Woj?
You were not thinking
No, I'm not kidding, because I'm about to get into a Woj bit, and I was going to say from Adrian Wojnarowski, why don't we call him Woj?
I used to think it was Wojnarowski, but then he let us know that it's Wojnarowski, and so why isn't it Woj? I'm totally with you. Same church, same pew, same nickname.
Exactly.
Who's sitting on whose lap?
You always have to go to that, which is really, really curious. Go ahead and open up a couple more Splendas, stir your machine-served coffee, and we'll get to you in just a minute. Jim, what pieces might Philadelphia want in a potential signing?
Some of the names, and you mentioned P.J. Tucker is one of them.
Sure.
Eric Gordon is one of the names that's also been thrown out. But Clint Capella, who just signed the 5-year, I believe, $90 million deal with the Houston Rockets, could also be a part of that. I don't know how adding Jimmy Butler to the mercurial mix of the beard and CP3 is going to make for any pleasantries down there in Houston.
Well, it's interesting because I'm a big fan in the three-person dynamic. I love to study it. It's fascinating to watch, especially when your kids are younger and maybe they have a friend over, or they have two friends over, and now it's a three-person dynamic. Very rarely do you have three people completely getting along in lockstep. Usually, two people will break off and one is ostracized. In this Houston situation, you bring in Jimmy Butler and you take Chris Paul and you realize that Chris Paul is much more of a tougher player than James Harden is. So Jimmy Butler takes Chris Paul aside and says, look, you know why I was brought here. I was brought here to toughen up the beard. So Paul and Butler become aligned. And then James Harden, who is the best player on the team, he has to follow along because all of a sudden now the paradigm that Jimmy Butler sets, and we've seen it in Chicago, in Minnesota, in Philadelphia in a short spurt. I believe that the thinking is Jimmy Butler would bring out the tough in James Harden.
He's talking about the Trinity, how to bring them all together.
Not at all, actually.
Oh, I think that that would be
interesting. Because that's a perfect three-person dynamic,
right.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Right. And that's what, if Butler can bring it in, you're saying that him and Chris Paul can get together and then bring James Harden. Then they can be in lockstep in unison, so kind of the Trinity.
I don't think that they can ever achieve that holy divinity, though, in Houston. You know, the idea. Don't even get me started, Kaganakis, because I go deep with this Bible stuff.
He does.
Sure you do.
He actually does.
For a non-believer,
he's more Catholic than I am, and I'm Catholic.
And I got that from my father, who was a famous agnostic, but he had the Bible basically memorized.
That's interesting.
Like, Dad, why don't we go to church? Oh, I know the Bible by heart.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah, all right.
Your father, Greg Papa.
Yeah, break me off some Leviticus.
Let me point out that your three-person dynamic that you bring up, three-person dynamic would mean in this show, who gets ostracized the most on this three-person dynamic? Joe Lower Dibs.
It's pretty obvious.
How about in the next three-person dynamic where you've got Bonte, Steiny,
and
Guru?
Dumber. That's a pretty
good
move.
Who will get ostracized at... Wow.
No!
Wow.
I thought we were talking about the movies.
Wow. Wow. You're ripping our coworkers here. Who gets ostracized in that one if you had to put an over-under?
Too early to tell right now. I think that in different scenarios, and I think that's why... When you look at a true three-person dynamic like this show with, you know, three plus Anna, so with inappropriate comments about former employees, hopefully we dump that. Sometimes, you know, it kind of swivels around. In an ideal situation, it would swivel around. So, you know, if Chris Paul and James Harden have it going offensively, Jimmy Butler would stay out of the mix. That's partly to me why this Warrior success has been so tremendous, because at times when you have the three-person offensive scoring machine, when Steph and Clay and KD were all clicking, this team truly was unbeatable.
In a Ratto-Kolsky-Bruce dynamic, who gets ostracized?
Wow.
You don't want to play that game, do you?
I'm not in this one.
You'll play it with the Houston Rockets, but you won't play it with our team here?
No, I won't do it. I'm not going to do it. I won't. I just think that it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Houston. What is it going to take if they are going to get Jimmy buckets? Is it Capella trading him away? You just paid this guy $90 million. It'd be interesting, you know, just to see the different teams that are rumored to Butler and Kawhi. Newsflash, it's not enough of those guys out there to make that much of an impact on all these teams. So someone's going to be left holding the bag. We understand that.
Reporting is also going to be very interesting at this point, because we know that here at this station, we had Rick Bucher on, who's a Radio.com basketball insider, and he seems to believe that there is a Warriors/KD rift of some kind. I don't know that to the degree that it is, but he seems to believe that there is one. Woj, or Warge, as you and I like to call him, right? He doesn't believe that there is any breakdown in trust between Durant and the Warriors. And so we're going to get conflicting reports between now and Sunday. Does that make it better or worse that we don't have a straight line of thought on most anything that goes on when it's behind doors talk?
It makes it better for us in the business because it's Wednesday and none of this can go down until Sunday, right? We're still 4 days away.
Right.
So the idea of the speculation, and you can tell from KD's actions that he isn't thrilled, or he wasn't thrilled throughout the course of the year with all the back and forth, the would he, won't he, is there a rift, is there not a rift. Ultimately, two things can be equally true. He can leave the Warriors in free agency and there not be a rift. There can be a rift and he can return to the Golden State Warriors because maybe it's repairable. So as much as we want to make it cut and dry, he has a problem with the team, therefore he's leaving. Nothing is that simple in life. There's always gray area.
All righty. I'm going to be intrigued to see as this gets a little bit closer. Do we know if KD and the Warriors have set a time to meet? We haven't heard anything about that,
no,
right?
We haven't. We have not.
How about Clay? Have we heard about Clay?
We have not either.
Hmm.
But I just know when you guys are talking about Riff and you listen at Woj and you, what is he saying compared to what Buke is saying, I think that they're both right in a sense. One is, I can be disappointed and be upset, but I still can communicate. So I think that KD understands the magnitude of this injury, and I think his people understand the magnitude of this injury. For them not to communicate, that would be silly because there's money at stake. So I think that KD's disappointed. He's disappointed in the medical. He's disappointed with his people, all the different things around him. He's disappointed, and rightfully so. probably disappointed himself a little bit for allowing himself to be talked into doing something that he probably felt in the back of his head he shouldn't. So, yes, he's disappointed. You can't be disappointed. You can't be upset with this guy for that. But Woj is wrong when he says just because they're communicating doesn't mean that there's not a rift or doesn't mean that there's not a disappointment. And they're just mean. It doesn't mean that these guys are still on the same page. It just means that's the right way to do business. So they're going to communicate. But I do believe that you can still be disappointed in communicating. It doesn't have to be breakdown in communication.
All right. There's a lot of interesting stuff from Adrian Wojnarowski, and he is the guru of all insiders. I mean, there are some guys, you see them tweet something out and you tend to take it as gospel. There's a scenario with Klay Thompson that Adrian Wojnarowski brought up the other day, and we wanted you to hear it as Warrior fans and find out and get your perspective on what you think. This is from Woj on the Warriors and their dealings with Klay Thompson.
You could offer your own free agent a deal at any point here. That five-year, $190 million max offer before the injury, post-injury, if it's not there for Klay Thompson Sunday at 6:01 p.m. Eastern, the Warriors could then expect him to go out and take a meetings. But the one team that I think that my information is that he would be very open to going to sit down with are the Clippers. And if Kawhi Leonard, if they have a chance to be able to sell Kawhi Leonard on a partnership with Klay Thompson, you know, certainly that's an appealing sell for any free agent and vice versa.
Now, to be clear, just because they haven't communicated that the 5190 max is coming doesn't mean it's not coming. In fact, I would be shocked, given what he has meant to their organization, if it didn't come.
Interesting stuff from Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN. So if the at 6:01 it's not on the table, Klay would entertain a meeting, and the one team in specific is the Clippers. We know Jerry West is there. He's an advisor. He stuck up for Klay Thompson. Remember the whole trade talk where they were going to send Klay to Minnesota for Kevin Love? And Jerry West said, I'm walking out the door. You can do that, but I'm walking out the door and you're not going to see me anymore. That's a big draw down there. How much do the Warriors have at stake to make sure they get something done quickly the right way?
I think they have a lot at stake, but you don't have to really worry about it until 5:59 on Sunday. Because if the offer's not there by 6:01, fine. You've got time between now and then. I think your number one concern for the Warriors right now is, what are you going to do about Kevin Durant? So once you get some sense of clarity on how you're going to proceed with Kevin Durant, the Klay Max will be offered ahead of the 6:01 deadline, and he never will have an opportunity to have that meeting with the Clippers. The idea that this is out there, though, makes perfect sense from Klay's camp, because you just want to let the organization know, hey, there is another viable alternative, and Klay would seriously look at it if you don't meet this deadline. So it wasn't really like them throwing down the gauntlet, we're taking a meeting no matter if you offer the Max or not. They just said, according to Woj, that if the Max isn't offered, then they'll go take the meeting.
Dan, like many things in life, you and I are in the same church and the same pew. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station. Joe Lowe and Dibs here on a Wednesday morning. Anna is here as well. I am Jim Cosimore in for Joe Fortenbaugh. He is off all this week. I'll explain why we're in the same seat, ostensibly, in this. I absolutely agree that it's got to be Klay's people saying, you know what, who's the one most credible guy we can get to say something that will be in our favor? It's Woj. You tell the Warriors through Woj, hey, guys, 5 years, 190 on the table, I ain't going anywhere. You hesitate, you get a hitch in your giddy up, and I got a fallback plan. And that fallback plan is with the guy who built this dynasty, Jerry West, and it's closer to my daddy who works for the Lakers. So just so you know, I got options on the table.
Why are you trying to go to my daddy? And just so you know, well, you try to get, oh, wow. You never cease to amaze me, Jimmy.
Because I'm all that and the bag of chips that I was up in earlier.
And closer to his home, he went to Santa Margarita High School, Orange County. The Clippers are more Orange County's team, and the Lakers, I believe, more L.A.'s team. So, yes, closer to his daddy. Well played.
Thank you.
I'm sure he's homesick, too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.